Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY23 earnings conference call of IOL Chemicals and Pharmaceuticals Limited. From the management, we have Dr. Sanjay Chaturvedi, Executive Director and CEO, Mr. Pradeep Kharna, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Abhay Raj Singh, VP and Company Secretary. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. I now hand the conference over to Dr. Sanjay Chaturvedi for opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Very good afternoon to everyone, and thank you for joining today's call, wherein we are going to look at our operational and financial performance during the first quarter that ended on June 30th, 2022. I trust you've all gone through our financials and investor presentation that has been made available on the exchanges. I would like to share some insight into overall economy performance and the trend in sectors that we are all a part of. And then my colleague, Mr. Pradeep Kharna, CFO, will take you through the financials, and that will be followed up by the Q&A session. So I would say that, you know, after a subdued last quarter of the previous financial year, the sentiments in global markets have turned a little positive, you know, with overall commodity prices softening. We've seen volatility, and now the central banks are taking measures to tackle inflation as well. Crude price too has also seen a correction, with our average import price falling by about 25% from the peak value. However, the elevated gas prices continue to be an area of concern, with LNG and CNG pricing surging more than 40% over the last couple of months. The domestic economy is witnessing a strong revival in consumption, and the recovery has been there in the services sector. This growth is also likely to be fueled by a lower base last year, as the second wave of COVID had swept across the country, severely impacting the businesses. The domestic economy is witnessing a revival overall, and this has allayed any recession-related speculation. Over the next few years, I think our focus as a company will be on diversifying into other specialty chemical products and increase the share of a non-ibuprofen business in pharmaceutical. The investment that we planned in setting up a new plant will aid the company in strengthening our position in both domestic and export markets, and this will cater to global customers, thereby helping and improving our market share both in the domestic segment as well as in export segment. Over the course of the next few quarters, the company plans to explore new geographies and de-risk the business with continuous backward integration model, and this will play out to improve both our top line as well as profitability. The various business challenges of softening demand, rising input costs, and volatility in chemical prices will slowly get normalized, as you can see in the improvement in our EBITDA margins. However, we do believe that all these challenges are temporary phenomena. The robust global demand on the specialty chemicals front, along with pharma, owing to a shift in market share from China, as you've all heard, China Plus One strategy, we believe that this will overall benefit the segment and the whole sector in the next coming years. Funneling down to the sectors, the Indian pharma sector has been leading the battlefront in the battle against COVID last 2 years. There have been supply chain disruptions, and this has actually opened doors for Indian API manufacturers. So at present, Indian pharma players rely a lot on the Chinese API imports, and this situation is changing. After the pandemic, the government has been encouraging manufacturing of local APIs domestically to lessen the dependence on the Chinese market. And as one of the leading API manufacturers, IOL is strengthening our position by increasing capacity and improving our supply chain position. On the specialty chemicals front, the sector is benefited by strong global demand, owing to shift in the market share from China, coupled with the depreciating rupee, which also boosts the margins for the domestic players. And for IOL, the time is opportune to maximize and leverage the global demand in both segments as we diversify into newer specialty chemical products and also grow our ibuprofen business and the non-ibuprofen API segment as well. Within the pharma division, the non-IBU segment for us is growing gradually, and we expect this to be about 50% of the pharma segment within the next year or so. So to focus on the non-IBU business, we've planned a capex of around 300 crores. This will impact both specialty chemicals and some pharma intermediates. We are coming up with a new plant in Western India for specialty and pharma intermediates, and this will cater to customers both in the domestic and international market. This project is going to take shape and is expected to be complete within 18 months. And we are also additionally increasing our existing ethyl acetate capacity by about 20%. And from 100,000 metric tons per annum, we will go to about 120,000 metric tons per annum. And this will increase our market share in this product segment. And we expect this capacity to be on stream by the end of the financial year. So in summary, I would say despite strong headwinds in raw material and energy pricing, IOL has emerged stronger than before. We are confident of growing both our specialty chemicals as well as the pharma sector. And with this, I would like to hand over to my colleague, Mr. Pradeep Khanna, our CFO, who will share the financial details with you. Over to you, Mr. Pradeep.
Thank you, Dr. Sanjay. Good afternoon, everyone. And thank you for joining us today to discuss our performance for the first quarter ended 30th June 22. I will take you through financial highlights for the quarter one of financial year 23. Total income of the company in quarter one stood at rupees 570 crore as against rupees 524 crore in the corresponding quarter of financial year 22 and rupees 579 crore in previous quarter ended March 22. EBITDA for the quarter was rupees 61 crore as against rupees 116 crore in the corresponding quarter of financial year 22 and rupees 50 crore in previous quarter ended March 22. EBITDA margin for the quarter improved to 10.7% as against 8.6% in the previous quarter. Net profit in quarter 1 of financial year 23 was rupees 34.9 crore as against rupees 67 crore in the corresponding quarter of financial year 22 and rupees 27.8 crore in the previous quarter ended March 22. With price volatility in the chemicals business normalizing over last few months, the EBIT margin in the segment was much better at 16% compared to 5% in the corresponding period of the last year and negative of 2% in the previous quarter. The EBIT margin for the pharmaceutical segment too improved to 23% from 12% in the corresponding period of the last year and 30% in the due to improved price realization, the company's margin, gross profit, EBITDA, and net profit all were higher vis-a-vis last quarter. With this, we open the forum for question and answer session. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may enter star and one on their touchtone telephone. If your questions have been answered and you wish to withdraw yourself from the queue, you may enter star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, you may enter star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please enter star and one. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may enter star and one. We have the first question from the line of Sheikh Mohammed Ayaz, an investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Am I audible, sir?
Yes.
Sir, my question is, you mentioned that we will establish a plant in Western India. So yes. My question is whether the land has been bought or still there is no plan for them, still it is not considered or still is not decided. What is the status?
So, Mohammed, the land has not been bought. We are considering two or three different options and very shortly we will finalize that and move ahead.
Okay, so the next question is, there are lots of regulatory inspections are going on like USFDA and all those things in different areas of India. So whether is there any inspection, regular inspection pending for IULCP or any other and any approval coming in next quarter for DMF or anything else?
So, you know, we had our last USFDA audit in October of 2019. And you know, the CEPs are ongoing. We got our Russian approval and the Korean approval last year. So at this point, you know, anything pending, but even if there are audits, we are absolutely geared in terms of infrastructure and documentation to pass these audits.
Okay, any DMF approvals coming in upcoming quarters? Regulated?
So we have filed, you know, three DMFs in the last quarter and, you know, a couple of DMFs in the quarter previous as well. And our plan is to file about 5 to 6 DMFs every year. So as these DMFs get filed, naturally we will come up for audits and reviews. And as and when those DMFs are approved, we will shortly grow and expand our business into the U.S. market based on these approvals that we get.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Sir, the few other questions are like, if I will see sector-wise profit, still there is no recovery in the pharma business. The whatever recovery has come from the chemical business. What is the future in that pharma? I mean, so what is there any recovery coming? You see any recovery coming in pharma business?
Yes, we do see recovery coming in the pharma business. See, if you look at the non-ibuprofen portfolio for us, you know, two of the key products there being metformin and now paracetamol that we've launched, you know, these are two products where there was a significant price correction over the last two quarters. So, you know, paracetamol that was consistently selling at close to 800 rupees a kilo, you know, corrected to below 600 rupees. So the correction, the impact that you see on the P&L is really due to the correction, the price erosion in two of our key products. If I look at the other products that we have, fenofibrate and clopidogrel, you know, these are all products that continue to do remarkably well. So I think what we have to look at is a blended portfolio. And now that the price has corrected, even the raw material prices have started to come down. So we do believe that going forward, the profitability in the non-IBU segment will actually be more sustainable than it has been in the past.
Okay, sir. Sir, in last 3 months, we have established two subsidiaries, IUL Life Sciences and Specialty Chemicals. So, Specialty Chemicals, I have little knowledge, but in Life Sciences, how it differs from the API? Is there any difference from API and Life Science and any different products coming from the Life Science business?
Okay. So, at this point, you know, these are subsidiaries that have been established for new businesses that will commence in here. Clearly, the IUL Specialty Chemicals will have Specialty Chemicals business, and you know, you can put two and two together where now that we've announced the new investment, we essentially want to do investments in ways that are capital efficient. So in the subsequent quarters, you will hear more about what we plan to do on IUL Life Sciences as well. But clearly, we plan to have API products beyond our current portfolio, and it's more capital efficient to do that in different subsidiaries.
Okay, sir. Sir, currently in the conference call, you told about margins. I mean, last conference, you told we are going to deliver more than 15% of the margins. This quarter it has been around 10 or 11%. So what margins we are going to see in upcoming quarters?
So, you know, it's a game of inches actually, where we have gone from about 8.5, 8.7% to 11% in one quarter. So we do feel confident that by the end of the year, we'll be back to between 15 and 20%.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may enter star and one. We have the next question from the line of Zain Banihali from Odyssey Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. My question is on the, you said on the CapEx that we are going to spend about 300 crores. So how are you going to finance that?
So we are going to finance that, through a combination of, internal accruals, and if required, maybe we'll take a small level of debt as well.
Mm-hmm. So could you throw some light on the percentage? I mean, what percentage would be external finance and what percentage would be internal?
So hard to do right now because, see, this is not the only investment that we plan. I think in future we want to keep some, dry gunpowder aside for more investment that we may want to do in other parts of the business. And so depending on that scale, we will decide how to fund this. But clearly, given the funding mechanisms where debt and equity ratios vary anything from 1:1 to 1:2, we are fairly confident that we have a strong enough balance sheet that we can fund CapEx and investment both for our specialty chemicals as well as pharma businesses without stressing our balance sheet too much.
So these 300 crores, they would be towards chemicals or pharma?
So this 300 crores goes primarily into a combination of specialty chemicals and some intermediates that go into pharma.
Primarily into specialty chemicals.
And some intermediates that go into pharma.
Okay. So another question is, sir, out of the 113 crores or so that we did in the other APIs, what percentage of it is coming from metformin? I mean, out of the 113, how much is metformin share?
I don't want to give you a breakup like that because, then it's a very slippery slope. The next person will ask me a question about clopidogrel. The third guy will ask me about pantoprazole. So I think needless to say, the real message I want to give you is that we are no longer a single product company and we are moving a portfolio of products in a way that ibuprofen in the next year or so will be about 50% of the total API business.
No, what I want to know, what would be our second largest product after ibu? So would it be metformin?
So as of now, yes, it would be metformin, but this is an evolving scenario because please understand that the capacity of metformin that I have is very large, but the price of metformin is very low. So, I have products in my portfolio that range from, $5 a kilo to like $100 a kilo or even higher. So, if you want to look at volume-based capacity, certainly it's the second largest. But if you want to see how our portfolio is going to evolve over time, then I think metformin will be one of the mainstay products in our portfolio. And what's driving this is really not the value of the product. What's driving this really is the customer interest. See, our customers who buy Ibu have asked for certain products, and metformin happens to fit that criteria. So if you look at metformin as a product, our product is no differentiated than the rest of the suppliers in the market. Everybody buys DCDA from China. Everybody converts that DCDA into metformin and sells it. And yet our unique advantage is not that we are a me-too product, but that we have a list of customers who've been buying APIs from us for over 2 decades.
No, but we are also getting DCDA from China, right?
That's exactly what I'm saying. All API manufacturers in metformin are importing DCDA from China. So the real differentiator is the customer relationship, which in our case happened to be list of, you know, very premier customers who have been buying ibuprofen for decades.
And sure, I understand. About this, sir, we see that the pharma business, you know, there hasn't been a lot of, the margins are shrinking from past 3 or 4 quarters. So what is the perspective going ahead? And we don't really have a pricing power there, right? It's a commodity that we are selling, so we don't have a pricing power. So what is the demand aspect look like?
So I would say that the demand aspect for the portfolio of products that we are in is stable. If I look at, you know, my specialty chemicals portfolio gives me single-digit EBITDA margins, whereas my pharma business gives me double-digit EBITDA margins. And as you can see from competition, there aren't too many API businesses today running at double-digit EBITDA margins. So, and also if I look at the direction and the trend line, I stand by what we committed earlier that we will go back to between 15 and 20% EBITDA margins within the year or so.
So in the pharma, do we sell on the long-term basis? We do long-term contracts with the business houses, and that's how we sell them, right?
So in certain products you do. So I think products where we have the regulatory approvals and, you know, what I call blue chip customers that understand the power of doing long-term contracts. Because ultimately, you know, customers are also interested in reliability of supply and not just, you know, the lowest price. You know, if price was the only criteria, then I guess we would all be driving Tata Nanos. So, you know, there is some value in long-term relationships. And we do long-term contracts with certain customers, but that is not a very common trend in India where a lot of the API business happens to be spot business.
So in the long term, are we able to see, because the problem is that the market, there are price vagaries. So are we able to sell them at an increased price, or the price is already decided and we take a loss there?
So we have both types of customers. So we have actually three types of customers. One is customers who do long-term contract. They will do an annual contract and fix the price. In those customers, the risk is yours. If the price goes up, you know, if the raw material price goes up, you take a hit. If the raw material price goes down, you take a benefit.
Yes.
Then you've got customers who will do long-term contracts but do pricing and review the pricing every quarter. And then you've got customers who kind of give you a commitment of volume but want to negotiate the price order on order. So, you know, it's a whole gamut, a whole range is there. And we can't say I have only one business model. It's not a one-size-fits-all approach.
And so my question is, next question is that are there any plans to diversify, I mean, differentiate, I mean, make two businesses out of the chemical and the pharma business, make two different companies out of it, you know, down the line?
So at this point, we don't have any such plans.
Okay. My final question, sir. Right now, a lot of companies are delaying their capex because of the prices. You know, the commodity prices are quite high right now, and they have delayed everybody for a year, year and a half. So is this the right time to put about 300 odd crores into capex? And furthermore, you are saying that we have plans to put furthermore money there.
I'm going to answer this question in two ways. Number one, if you've decided what your future is, there is no time better than now. And let me explain what I mean by that. I think a capex investment in a challenging environment actually is a testament of our confidence and our ability to create value out of the capex that we put in. So I would see that in a very positive light. Second, yes, there was a time when the prices of the raw material and the commodity prices, steel was up. But if you look at the last 2 months, the steel has already fallen by 25%. So if you look at crude prices, crude is already down. So in many areas, the prices have normalized. And even if you take the higher prices of capex, you know, if you look at the entire project of, say, 300 crores, if the steel price goes up by 30%, it's not that the cost of capex goes up to 400 crores. It goes up in a smaller proportion. So if you look at a payback period, that payback period is going to change only by a few months. So if you're going to, for us, the investment of 300 crores in a new geography is a strategic call. it is not based on bean counting and saying whether this is going to pay back in 26 months or 28 months.
Mr. Banihalli, I'm sorry to interrupt.
I want to make one.
Yes, I understand, sir, but we have participants in the queue. You can come back with your question.
Sure, I'll join back in the queue.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may enter star and one. We have the next question from the line of Preeti Sharma from First Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yes, Preeti, I can hear you.
Yes, thank you, sir. Just a couple of questions. So when you mentioned right now that, you know, your focus is also on the pharma business, just wanted to get an understanding, how are we looking at the mix going forward in terms of specialty chemicals and pharma in the next, say, 3 years? What is our target revenue mix?
Okay. I would say that, you know, today, pharma, pharma is slightly more than chemicals, and going forward, you know, with the new capex that we planned, you know, chemicals will perhaps outstrip pharma. But if I go, you know, 3-4 couple of years out, I think we will all be in the 40 to 60 envelope. And what I mean by that is, you know, pharma could be anything between 40% and 60%. And I'm not trying to be cagey about an answer. The reason I'm hedging my answer is, this mix depends a lot on the pricing of the products. And, you know, the pricing in pharma is going to be a lot less volatile than what it is going to be on the chemical side. So if you look at, you know, ethyl acetate, which is one of our flagship products, that pricing is already down 15% within, I would say, less than 2 quarters. So, you know, your guess is as good as mine what acetic acid is going to be 3 years from now.
Right. Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's fine. So another question is in terms of the raw material price volatility that we're seeing, how do we see it impacting our margins? And do you see any kind of stabilization in the near future in this?
You know, I could give you an answer and I would be wrong the next second. And what I mean by that is, you know, in commodity, you ask a commodities trader, what is the price of grain or what is the price of crude or what is the price of coal? You know, these commodities are no different. So in order to maintain a level of profitability, what you need to do is be very smart about your supply chain.
Mm-hmm.
De-risk yourself in terms of having multiple sources of raw materials. And multiple sources, as in not multiple suppliers, but multiple geographies. Multiple geographies, not just within India, but multiple geographies across the world. And we've done all of these things. So we have a fairly high level of confidence that, you know, our specialty chemicals business, for example, will continue to deliver between 6 to 8% EBITDA. So, you know, if we are really wrong on some of the bets, it would go to 6% and maybe slightly below 6. But if we are right, it could go to 8, maybe 9%. And that's the range in which you operate.
Okay, okay. Thank you. Thank you, sir. And my last question would be in terms of the CAPEX that we have planned around 300 crores. So right now on our books, we don't have any long-term debt. And short-term is sitting around 400 crores. So is this something that we are looking forward to raise any more debt to fund this CAPEX, or it will be through internal accruals or something?
So, Preeti, right now I would say that internal accruals is the way for us to go. It depends on what additional capex we do in the next couple of quarters. And we are very confident that with zero debt and the cash that we have on our books, through a combination of using this as well as, you know, the profit that our existing business generates, we may require a very small level of debt in the future.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much, sir. That is all.
Thank you, Preeti.
Thank you. Participants, if you have a question, you may enter star and one. We have the next question from the line of Shanti Patel from Shanti Patel Investments Advisors. Please go ahead. Shanti Patel, your line has been unmuted. Please proceed.
Are you getting my voice?
Yes, please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. What is our market share in UV furan in India?
Market share for what? Shanti, I could hear you. What
main,
you saying?
Main product. Main that you be found. What you call it exactly, because that is a medical term.
Okay. Ibuprofen.
Yeah, you are right.
You know, in terms of capacity, our market share is around 35%, 33 to 35%. And I would say in terms of, you know, sales-wise market share, it could be in the 30% range.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. To ask a question, you may enter star and one. We have the next question from the line of Gautam Gosar from Perpetuity Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for taking my question. So I had a question on the ibuprofen side. So currently our market share will be around 33 to 35%. What would be our capacity and the capacity utilization for the quarter?
So our capacity utilization is, you know, about 70-75% range. That's the range of our capacity utilization today.
Okay, and what would be the pricing? So, like, has the pricing improved?
So, the pricing continues to be in the $11 to $12 range per kilo.
Okay. So, like, it is in the range of around 800 to 850 rupees, and is it that or around 700 to 750?
Because, so, you know, I like to think in terms of dollars, since we export a fair amount. So, $11 to $12 is what I remember, and you can multiply that by whatever the exchange rate is.
Okay, and so are we selling it only in the semi-regulated markets or in the regulated markets as well?
So we sell it across all three markets, which is India, ROW, less regulated markets, as well as regulated markets of both Europe as well as the US.
Okay, and sir, any guidance on the tonnage, like how much tonnage are we doing per month currently in ibuprofen?
So we consistently do in the range of around 800 tons or so per month.
Okay. And what is the trajectory like currently going on in July and August? In the same range or something higher? So that I basically want to understand the demand shaping up for ibuprofen.
Okay. So, you know, the demand for ibuprofen is fairly stable. This is, you know, one of those commodity products where I think the world capacity is around 36,000, 37,000 tons, and the world demand is between 33 and 35,000 tons. So for us to grow this business significantly, you know, we would have to go into newer geographies. And we are in the process of getting approvals into regulated markets. So, you know, you clearly understand this game, Gautam, that to get approvals in regulated markets is not a question of months and quarters, it's a question of years. And this is a journey we started several years ago. So as we continue to get approvals from various customers, we continue to add to our business. So we are actually doing two things here. One is we are doing two, you know, one is expanding the size of the pie and also, you know, improving our penetration. So, and what I mean by that is, I can go from 800 tons a month to 900,000 tons a month and at the same time shift that business as and when approvals happen more and more towards regulated markets. So the focus is on improving the volume as well as the quality of the business.
Yeah. That is what I basically wanted to understand. And secondly, sir, on the non-ibuprofen side, as you mentioned, the portion of the non-ibuprofen side is going to increase in the coming quarters going ahead. So are you confident on that? So basically, currently if you see the ibuprofen side is contributing around 60% and non-ibu is contributing around 40%. So how is the share improving and going forward, how much will be the share by the end of FY23 and FY24? If you could help me with that.
I would actually, Gautam, you know, take your attention to what this number was maybe 2 years ago.
Yes. Yeah.
2 years ago, the non-ibuprofen part was about 15% of our total business. Today, as you rightly pointed out, it is between 35-40%. And our objective is over the next year, year and a half, this should be about 50% of the total portfolio.
Okay. Got it. Yeah, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you, Gautam.
Thank you. Participants, if you have a question, you may enter star and one. We have the next question from the line of Jinal Fofalia from VJ Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. So I have a couple of questions. So first is, sir, going forward, how do we see a revenue share from ibuprofen stabilizing? And second is, which are the high-margin products that we are getting into, and when can we see this showing in our blends margins?
Okay. So there are two questions that you've asked, Jinal. First is, your question was around, how do we see the contribution of ibuprofen stabilizing?
I would actually say that
going forward, you should see the contribution of sales coming from ibuprofen actually going down. Because as the size of my business goes up, I will not increase the ibuprofen business in the same proportion that I grow the other businesses. So going forward, this number will go down. And then the second question was, at what point do I envision the profitability of the non-ibuprofen businesses kicking in?
Yeah.
Two things need to happen there. One is a higher level of asset utilization where I'm manufacturing these products and a greater percentage of the sales coming from export markets. And this is a work in progress. I think it might take us another couple of quarters or so, but that's the journey that we are on.
Okay, fine. Thank you. Thank you, sir. That's it.
Thank you. To ask a question, you may enter star and one. We have the next question from the line of Niharika from Equitas Investment. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, am I audible?
Ma'am, you have to just speak a little louder.
Okay, so mine is a follow-up question. So regarding the asset utilization of 70% to 75%, so is demand the bottleneck for us, and is the capacity fungible? Like if I need some other product to be made, so is the capacity fungible?
So let me answer your second question first, Niharika. The capacity for ibuprofen is not fungible. We have two ibuprofen plants, and they are dedicated for making ibuprofen. The only fungible site here is I can make all different grades of ibuprofen in both plants. But I cannot make some other product in the ibuprofen plant. And the first part of your question was, at what point do I see asset utilization going beyond 75%? Correct?
Yes.
I see that happening in the coming few quarters itself.
Okay, fine. And my other question is on the line of that ethyl acetate for which you are taking an expansion. So any new capex coming up in India or otherwise other than yours? So I want to understand the peer capacity coming into the industry.
So see, if you look at overall ethyl acetate as a business or as a market, this is roughly around a 700,000 ton market in India, out of which our current capacity is 100,000 tons, and we are adding only 20,000 tons, which is significantly less than the annual growth in this market. So yes, there are other competitors, there are other players, and they are also adding capacity, but they happen to operate in different parts of the geography. So clearly you can understand that as a commodity product, it doesn't make too much sense to ship around the product and add to the shipping cost. So we are essentially adding this capacity to cater to the growing demand in the region where we are and cater to those customers.
Okay, so we'll be utilizing 100% of our capacity once this 120 comes up. It will be able, like the market will be able to absorb this.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, and my other question is, how much of cash is sitting in our books as of 30th of June? Cash and cash equivalent?
So we have approximately 300 crores, and then more will come from accruals as we grow our regular business.
Okay, and last question from my side, what is the status of patents? I think there were three patents which were pending, so any update on them?
So, no, nothing. We don't have the approvals for that yet, and Erica, I'll be very happy to announce to the world as and when they get approved.
Okay, that was it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Participants, if you have a question, you may enter star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may enter star and one. We have the next question from the line of Preeti Sharma from First Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question again. My last question was the export contribution right now to our overall sales has gone down from 38 to 39% to currently 25%. So can we expect this contribution to improve going ahead since we know the China Plus One strategy is currently at play?
Yeah. So, Preeti, you know, there are two segments that contribute to our exports, both pharmaceutical as well as the chemical segment. The drop in exports that you see is primarily on account of the chemical segment where, you know, we have a strange situation that the international prices of ethyl acetate are actually lower than the domestic prices.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, at this point, we choose not to export and we choose to serve the domestic market. There is really no drop in the export for our pharmaceutical business.
Okay. So, and you, as you mentioned about ethyl acetate, what is the current contribution and do you see any kind of improvement going forward?
So, you know, ethyl acetate in terms of, you're talking about contribution contribution in terms of the profits, or you're talking about how much does it contribute to my sale?
To your sales.
Okay. You know, overall the chemical segment is about 50% plus minus a few percentage points. And the reason I'm adding a few plus minus percentage points is if I look at my average price of ethyl acetate in last quarter, you know, let's say in Q4 of last year versus Q1 of this year, the difference in price itself is about 15%. And at a, you know, 100,000 ton capacity, that's enough to shift the overall contribution by up to 10 percentage points.
Okay. Okay, that's it, sir. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may enter star and one. Participants, if you have a question, you may enter star and one. To ask a question, you may enter star and one. We have the next question from the line of Sheikh Mohammed Ayaz, an investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity again, sir. Sir, my one question is, any API is coming in production in upcoming quarters, what you have announced in investor presentation last quarter? Like Epic Carbon or anything else?
Our focus in the next quarter, Mohammed, is really on improving the asset utilization of the products that are already under commercialization. The rest of the products are really under development. So, you know, till those filings are done and the exhibited batch is taken and the products qualified with customers, it would be premature for me to speculate. Because once I tell you what we are doing, then the next question will be what volumes are we going to get. The subsequent will be what price we are going to get. So, you know, that could be speculation at this point. But needless to say, we are very confident in the non-ibuprofen portfolio in growing both the volumes as well as improving the market share in exports. And we will keep adding to that portfolio. We have a stated intent of having 5 to 6 DMFs every year. And that itself should tell you our commitment to growing the non-ibuprofen portfolio.
Okay, so my last question is, how is the demand from the countries where we have got regulated approvals?
So I would say that demand is now showing, you know, some green shoots in terms of orders picking up. For over a year, you know, the demand was very, very soft. And that was really a result of overstocking during COVID. But now that demand is coming back and we are back to, you know, going at customer visits, conferences, engaging with customers overseas. So all the signs are very positive.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much. All the very best. I am hoping it goes based from the management of IOC. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question, and we will now close the question queue. I would now like to hand the conference to Dr. Sanjay Chaturvedi for closing comments. Please go ahead, sir.
You know, thank you all very much for joining us today. You know, we appreciate you sparing the time from your hectic schedule. So as we talk, you know, despite the challenges, IOL has come out with very strong set of numbers, and these will only improve going forward. And strategically, the direction that we've taken to grow both the chemicals and the pharma business is strong. And within the pharma, grow the non-ibuprofen business as well. And our investment.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have lost the line for the management. Kindly stay connected. Ladies and gentlemen, kindly stay connected for the closing comments. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. Kindly stay connected. We are attempting to connect the management for the closing comments. Please go on. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the line for Dr. Chaturvedi now reconnected. Please go ahead, sir.
So once again, you know, thank you all very much for joining us today and sparing your time from your hectic schedules. As we discussed, you know, despite challenges, IOL has come out with a strong set of numbers, and these will only improve here on. Our investment in specialty and pharma intermediate by setting up a new plant in Western India will aid the company in building a stronger and sustainable business for us. And we feel that with the rupee depreciation, we will also get better contribution from the export markets over the next few quarters. So once again, thank you all and have a nice day.
Thank you, Dr. Chaturvedi and the members of the management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of IOL Chemicals and Pharmaceuticals Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.